The title of my sermon, Have You Seen Strange Things Yet? Have you? What are the strange things? You know, sometimes in our lives, it takes strange things for us to actually stop and think. Now, the strange things that I'd like to talk about, they're not quite strange. Depends how you look at it. I want you to open the Gospel of Luke with me, chapter 5. And we're going to read those two verses that we heard in the very beginning of our service today. Verse 25 and 26. Immediately he rose up before them. And I want you to pay attention to every word there. It's very important. So immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Now, my question to you is, who are they? Who was he? What are the strange things they were talking about? Well, it's quite a story. But before we go back and read the whole story, I want to emphasize a few very important things in this short passage that we just read. Well, look in the beginning of verse 25. It says, immediately he rose up before them. Would it be a different way to say that if I just skip those two words and say, immediately he rose up, took up what he had been lying on, and so on? We would still get the picture, right? That he actually got up, he took something that he was lying on, and he went. Now, why it's important, there are those two words, he rose up before them. There is an interesting use of those two words. At the end of the book of Luke, when Jesus appeared to his disciples, and they wouldn't believe that that was him. They were so afraid, and Luke uses the same two words. He actually ate before them. Jesus did. He wanted to show them, look, this is me. I can eat. It's not some kind of spirit. So in that particular situation, it makes sense why Luke used those two words, before them, because that was the point. He wanted them to see something. Now, in this verse, Luke actually makes the point as well. This man that he rose up before them, and now it's very important for us to understand who they were that had to see this man rising up before them. In verse 25, we read that that man who rose up, that we'll learn about in a minute, he departed to his own house doing what? Glorifying God. Now, that's him. In the following verse, we see the same things that other people are doing. It's very important. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God. So far what we've learned from this little passage. There was somebody who rose up, and he rose up to make the point before others. And both him and they glorified God. Now, if I would ask you, the kids here, can you guess what is the story that we are talking about? Who rose up, took up what he was lying on, and went home? Jesus. You think that was Jesus. Okay, other thoughts? The man who rose up, took up his belongings, went home. Who was it? The person that was crippled. Actually, that's right on. The man who had been crippled for 38 years. I know the story you are referring to, but that's not exactly that story. But yes, he was paralyzed. Well, I didn't set it up. I didn't ask them to answer my questions. Now, can you tell me what was the story? Okay, so you are referring to the story of the Good Samaritan. There was a man who was actually robbed and he was beaten. Well, you know, apparently there are more than one person in the Bible who rose up, took his bed, and went because of Jesus. And I'm glad, guys, that you know all those stories, but this story is really a remarkable story. Because right after this story, the people who actually watched that happening, they said, now what a strange thing just happened. So I want you to pay very close attention to the story as we're going to read it now, okay? Luke 5, verse 17 reads, "Now it happened on a certain day as he was preaching And I want you to pause right there. And we're going to skip the rest of this verse on purpose. And we're going to continue in verse 18. On a certain day, he was there preaching. And then what happened? Then behold, man brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say rise up and walk? Do you know the answer? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Did you know this story before, guys? Kids, can you raise your hand if you heard this story before? Now, would you agree that that's kind of a strange story? What was strange about this story? Yeah, the way they actually brought this man in was a strange way to do it, right? I mean, can you imagine? We are talking right now and suddenly this dust starts falling down and this van just collapses and things happen and somebody appears right here and Jesus would be here. This is strange. And Jesus heals this man, and it's interesting how he does that. He doesn't say, "Okay, well, it looks like you need healing, so be healed." He says, no. "Your sins are forgiven." Well, that's interesting that he talks to a paralyzed person about sins first. And once he said that, the man gets up and goes home. And of course, there is a discussion there. I mean, in itself, it's a wonderful, powerful story about Jesus' healing. But you remember we skipped a portion there, which was a very remarkable thing when I reread this story again. I never paid attention to it. But let's read that again from the very beginning. "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem." Now, I want to stop right here. What is it saying here? There was a Pharisees and teachers convention taking place. They came from all over. Why? Well, most likely they came to make a decision. They came to see what this Jesus, who he actually was. Can you imagine? There was a convention of Pharisees and teachers of the law right there. And Jesus knew, of course, about that. And the following verse was just a powerful verse. The end of the verse, 17. "And the power of the Lord was present to heal whom? Them." Now, I never paid attention to it. So there was a convention of Pharisees and teachers of the law taking place, and the power of the Lord was there to heal them, the verse says. Now, you can tell me, wait. There are two other places in Scripture where we find this story, and you're right. It's in Matthew and in Mark. And from Matthew and Mark, we do know that there were more than just Pharisees. There were other people present there. But there is a reason why Luke makes this point. He forgets about all others, and he makes the point very clear that there were Pharisees and the teachers of the law sitting right there. It's like Jesus arranged, by being God, in control of all the circumstances, he arranged this. He allowed them to just sit there on the first pew, and he was about to do something remarkable for them. And now, as we look at this story from this perspective, it's quite a different story. It's quite an interesting story. Think about it. So the power of the Lord was present there to heal them, and all of a sudden something happens, and he cannot heal them anymore. Because these four people, they bring their friend. And so he has to turn his attention to them and to heal this paralyzed man. Do you think it was a coincidence? No, that was how Jesus actually planned to heal them. Now, Were they sick? To heal them from what? And let's read the story again. What actually got their attention? So the man was already down on the ground, and so Jesus talks to him and he says, "Your sins are forgiven." Boy, that got their attention. What? Who are you to forgive the sins of this man? He is paralyzed. Who in the world are you? Well, that was the first point in their healing. Now, think about it. What do you know about Pharisees and the teachers of the law? Tell me a little bit about the mentality, because you've been around, you know more about them than you think you do. So who were the teachers of the law and the Pharisees? What was their mentality? Legalistic. What else? Strict. Arrogant, judgmental, all known, they pretended at least, to be very selfish. I mean, in a good way, they were good people because they cared about high standards. What's wrong about that? I mean, they cared about high standards. The only problem is they wanted to be right. Now, did you try that? Did you try to be right all the time? Now, does it work for you? What happens when you find yourself not being right? When you don't admit that? Well, many things happen. You're wrong. You're dead wrong. That's the biggest part. Thank you. But the things that happen in our minds when we want to be right and we cannot be right, there's a burden of guilt starts rising and building up and building up. And we know about it and we try to hide it because we want to be right. And we try to make other people right because we want to hide our own wrong thing. And so the mentality of a person who wants to be right is a person who is focused on himself and would not admit that he's actually wrong. And more than anything else, this person needs what? Forgiveness. Somebody who would come close to him and say, "Look, can I talk to you for a minute?" And would take this person to a very protected, safe room where nobody would hear anything and say, "Look, I know your heart. I know your thoughts." In fact, I'm not making it up. Jesus knew their hearts in this passage we read about it. He knew exactly what was taking place in their hearts. And so in that safe room, that authoritative person would say, "Look, you're forgiven. Don't worry. I know your good intentions. I know that it doesn't work. I know you try hard. I know it doesn't work. You are forgiven." That's the biggest thing that people with that mentality need to know. That they are forgiven, that actually the problems that they deal with are taken care of. And that's why Jesus starts talking to this paralyzed man saying, "Your sins are forgiven." Well, another point, of course, the reason why he was there and he was sick was because of the sin. Now, it's a remarkable illustration of what forgiveness does. It restores. It heals. It makes a person stand up and actually walk away, healed, whole. Now, would you like to get up today and walk from this place through those doors, healed and restored and forgiven? Well, it starts from forgiveness. And I'm here to tell you, not because of me, but because of Jesus' words, that Jesus has the authority today to forgive you. You can look inside and you might find yourself where the Pharisees were, where you want to be right, and it doesn't work. Well, the message for you today is that Jesus has forgiven you already. It's taken care of. It's a done deal. Now, what happens next is interesting too. So when he saw their face, I'm talking now about the four friends that brought their friend here, Jesus saw their faith, and he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven." So he saw what in them? Their faith. Now, what does verse 21 say? In contrast to that, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason. Well, I'm not trying to say that faith and reason are two completely different things. Don't get me wrong. To believe takes reasoning too, but reasoning in a different realm. Based on the facts that God tells us. We reason about them and we believe based on what God tells us. But it's interesting that Jesus is here to heal them, and now healing gets redirected. And the person actually gets healing. And as we step back, we see the reason. They came believing that he has authority to heal. While these ones, the Pharisees, all they did was just reasoning. Going back and forth in their mind. Wait a minute, no. No, it doesn't fit in. No. It's strange. No, it's not normal. No, it's out of box. No, it's impossible. Who in the world can he be that he forgives and so forth? Now, this is a challenge for you and me. We came in here today. We took our seats. Are we here to reason in our mind, going back and forth, doubting that God actually is able to do anything? Or we came here with faith. Jesus does have the same authority to heal, to forgive you and me today. I challenge you, stop going back and forth in your mind. Accept the fact that he has authority to heal you, to forgive your sins, to take care of the problems that you are facing. And as we walk out of this building today, I want you to walk out with a faith and assurance that it happened. Not because you feel something different, not because you will see something different, but because Jesus has authority and he can forgive. And that forgiveness heals us because we don't look back anymore. We don't dig deeper in our own lives trying to pull it back. No, it's a done deal. It's gone. We are free. We don't have to struggle with that. Look forward. Well, we don't know their hearts. I mean the Pharisees' hearts. But there is hope there. As we read in the very beginning, once they saw this amazing thing happening in front of their eyes, before they said it's a strange thing, they actually glorified God. And it's interesting that the outcome of this event was almost the same for the person who was healed and for the Pharisees, because both groups glorified God. So we don't know the hearts, but there is hope. It's possible that the Pharisees and teachers of the law convention, that people who attended that convention actually received healing because they glorified God. For Jesus, it didn't really matter. Pharisees, not Pharisees, teachers of the law, not teachers of the law, paralyzed, sinners, all of them are his beloved children. He doesn't look down on Pharisees. He doesn't look down on the teachers of the law. He didn't look down on the paralyzed man. He doesn't look down on you and me today, because you and I are his precious children, and he does everything, and the power is present to heal you and me. The power of forgiveness that takes care of the core issue in our life. When we accept the forgiveness that he offers us, it's a done deal. The point is for us to accept it and say, thank you, Lord. I don't have to deal with it anymore because you have forgiven me. And that's my challenge to you. Please accept the fact that you have been forgiven. And from that forgiveness, healing will come. Restoration will come. Wholeness will come. And I'd like to pray with you today that that will happen in your life. You will accept this forgiveness today. Would you mind if I ask you to stand with me for this prayer? Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and glorify your name because you have authority to forgive our sins. And Lord, thank you for exercising this authority in our lives. Lord, we accept the fact that you have forgiven us. Not because we deserved it, not even because we were worthy or even because we asked for it. You came 2,000 years ago to this earth to forgive us. Lord, we accept the fact that you have done that. And we are not going to look back about what's taking place in our lives. Lord, we want to draw a line and accept your forgiveness and come out of this room glorifying your name and looking forward to awesome healing and wholeness that you will bring in our life. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to actually experience that. We thank you so much for this wonderful, wonderful service. We thank you for every child here. We pray, Lord, that you will bless every family, every parent, every friend that came to support our kids. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you've given us today, and thank you for your forgiveness, most of all. In Jesus' name, amen.